Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen.
Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It. I'm your host, Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and we read their scripts. Today, the incredibly funny Jessica Seely is here. Jessica has never seen Oppenheimer, but she rewrote it and we read her script, and it is fantastic. It's such a fun time. Jessica's never been on the podcast before, so we play a little guess what you think you know about someone you don't know to get to know her. We take on, you know, her script, which is so funny, and she kind of absolutely nails it. I mean, nails it. And we have a really fun time, joined by Daniel Schar again as well. Daniel Schar once again as well. And always wonderful to hear from him and talk to him about how he is an extra who is in the non-adult parts of adult films. It's bizarre. Cinematic universe he is putting together. Want to say thank you to everyone for listening. If you want the extended version of the episode over at patreon.com/neverseenit, please go check out Jessica has a brand new album out on Blonde Medicine, which is the same label my album came out on. They're wonderful. It is called Weird Vibes. BlondeMedicine.com is where you can check out her album. Jessica Seely, S-E-L-E, kind of on Instagram. Go there as well. Enjoy this. Please sign up for our Secret Santa at neverseenitshow.com. And, you know, it's getting pretty close to not being able to sign up anymore. We got to get the gifts sent out. So go to neverseenitshow.com. Check out Jessica's album. You guys are all wonderful. Thank you for listening. I just sent out some stickers and some buttons and pins and merch and stuff to some of our Patreon subscribers. I also do giveaways every month to anyone who subscribes over there. And it's only $3 a month for the Never Seen It stuff, where the episodes come out early. You get extended episodes. We had a bonus All Games Day, just exclusive over there last week as well. Patreon.com/neverseenit. We're on YouTube. Go watch us on there. You know, I feel like we really used to get a ton of views over there, and they kind of, not as much. Maybe people don't watch as much. I don't know. But YouTube.com/neverseenit. This is enough of me. Way beyond enough for me. Check out Jessica's album Weird Vibes. Enjoy. Jessica Seely has never seen Oppenheimer.
We do have an ASM fart podcast in here.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Are you rolling in good?
Yeah.
All right. It'll basically be I'll do an intro separately, plug in the album and everything like that. How do you pronounce your last name?
Seely.
Seely. Okay.
That's how my family mispronounces our last name.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like, it's a Norwegian word, and it's supposed to be like, Sjæle. I can't even do it.
Sure.
It's like racist when I do it.
Towards literally your ancestors?
Yeah. But I just imagine the Swedish chef saying it is the closest I can get. But no, my family says, Sjæle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure.
But it's supposed to be like, Sjæle.
I think my last name is traditionally spelled A-Y-R-E-S through like the, but I'm A-Y-E-R-S. And I just think along the time someone misspelled it and my whatever great, 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 whatever didn't correct them. And that's how it got changed forever. Yeah. Was like too.
They're like, all right, yeah.
Too, what are you, like, reserved and ashamed to correct someone on spelling your own last name wrong on like a check. I'm like, well, I would rather cash this check than correct my boss.
What is the ethnic
German
origin?
Oh. German, I think.
I was going to say, is it like a polite culture that wouldn't correct?
Depends on what decade.
I see.
Of Germans you're talking about.
Do they stand up when something's wrong or no?
Could I have my mic down just, or not my mic, my headphones down just a little bit?
Good question. You, I can do that.
I have, interesting fact about me. I have literally perfect hearing.
Damn.
I got it tested this last year. Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
20/20 hearing.
I do.
Yeah.
What do they, how do they measure that?
You do. You've never done an ear test?
Is that where they play beeps and ask you to hold your hand up when the beep happens?
Yeah.
I think I.
And they also put like some they put some stuff on my temples, and apparently they could tell if my like ear bone was vibrating or whatever.
Whoa.
But he was like, this is the chart of perfect hearing, and this is your chart. And they were exactly the same. He's like, I never see this.
There's just a gap between hearing and name pronunciation in your family. Like, we can hear exactly how we're pronouncing our own name incorrectly. Well, that's, I don't know if I've, I think I used to have very good hearing, but I think I might have just lied on those tests. It's a lot of pressure when you're a kid to like, do good on all of the tests.
I might have been lying a little in this one. Like, yeah, there it is. Just of the rhythm of when I knew she was doing it.
You just see her pushing the button over there.
But yeah, you have a sports podcast. I have, there was a pitcher in my family, Aaron Seeley. Hmm. So we're the only family that has this last name, but he pitched for the Angels and the Mariners. And,
oh, cool.
Back in the.
That's how you get the prominent pronunciation. It's just a famous person with that last name.
Yeah.
Solidifies it.
I don't think there's any famous heirs. Well, there's the guy in the, what's it called, the Weather Project. He was sort of like a anarchist who then got loosely tied to Barack Obama.
The
Weather Underground, right. And his name was Robert Ayers, and so it got me on a no-fly list briefly because he had a relative or something with like a relative of, I have like a, I don't know. So whenever that was like a big like right wing when Obama was running, they're like, he has ties to Robert Ayers. And, you know, they like hung out like 30 years before that or something. And I was like, that's cool. This guy seems kind of cool. I still don't really know if he was or not. Might have been a terrorist. Depends on which news organization you ask, I guess. So he's famous. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any other famous Ayers.
Except you.
Just me. There's a Kyle Ayers that plays baseball and I think is a almost a professional baseball player because I sometimes see his stuff online.
There's a Daniel Schar who does like, I think like corporate real estate kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and also like an Asian teen who likes to race cars.
Really?
Like, yeah. I've seen him on like, you know, like drag racing forums.
That's exciting.
And stuff.
Yeah. I think you're building the Daniel Schar that will be famous.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely fucking up the SEO for those two guys at this point. Yeah.
Shar is working on getting himself his own cinematic universe within. Yeah. I don't want to explain it. I don't want to step
porn.
On any toes.
It's porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look for me, you'll find porn.
In the non.
Is it good? I have yet to.
You have to explain a little more.
To find. Yeah. I want a really good porn.
You know, I can't speak to the quality of the porn as a subjective viewer, but my mission is to make porn as funny as possible as a non-sex extra.
Ooh, and so, yeah. I'm going to watch this.
You're a non-sex extra, if you will.
Yeah.
Or EXXXTRA.
Exactly.
Because it's hot when people are funny.
That's, you know, that's the goal. I'm hoping to make people laugh. So and
how many, you've been like been in, you're just a pre and sex.
Oh, and like mid and post, you know, I'm there a lot of times throughout. I had a shoot yesterday. I was there for a lot of it.
I mean, like in the linear like timeline of the world of the porns that you end up in, you're in all parts of them.
You might find me like, at any point in that journey.
You're like who leaves
starring,
before sex
directing.
Or like
haven't started directed yet, but just as an extra. Yeah.
Incredible lines.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
I get to improvise a ton.
Is it like sapiosexual porn? And what would that be like? Just like, very like, I was reading some Foucault last night, and
I'm not intelligent enough to do that, but I wish I was.
It's improv-based porn. Like, he gets into the final class at UCB and everyone hooks up and things like that. They're just excited to... His check clears at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater.
I would thrive in that, you know?
I don't know. It's so funny. Like, here's a bunch of stuff you can't play clips of anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you can find them. With the internet.
If you guys have online, if you guys have one of the internet things that has porn on it.
Yeah, if you're a listener over 18, you can find them.
Right. Or you just know how to click the right side of a box.
Yeah.
Verifying your age. But that's incredible.
Yep.
I've had such a bad time looking for porn. I just decided I don't like it, but maybe I'd need to search more.
I think that's a common experience.
I used to watch independent queer porn, and then I had to stop because I just watched this one where it was a couple people that they would just, it was like two femmes, and they kept stopping to have sex to tickle each other. And I was like, I'm done with this.
That's my nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
I hate tickle stuff. People kept telling me to watch. You ever tell someone you hate something and they tell you to consume it?
Yeah.
Because I hate being tickled. Yeah. It's not that I don't like it. I thrash. I hate it so much. Yep. And then everyone's like, well, you should watch the documentary about tickling. Like, that's the thing I hate.
Right.
I hate being tickled too. I'm very ticklish, but I do have a sinister side where I like to tickle, but it's so stupid for me because it's like, if someone tickles me back, I am fucked.
You're upset at them.
Yeah, because I'm much more ticklish than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why am I trying to be powerful in this way?
I don't know.
Damn.
I can't do it, but I can't tickle anyone because I know how it feels for me.
But you're like a better person than me, maybe, because, and a smarter person, because you're like, this thing is bad. It's not pleasurable. I will not do it to other people. And I'm like, this thing is bad. It is not pleasurable. I must rain it upon.
I remember this, like from Nick Swardson. I watched his like special when I was in high school, maybe even middle school, like the Comedy Central Presents. He had a joke about like a guy who stabbed people getting stabbed and realizing that's how it feels. And this is what this feels like, where the guy like got stabbed. And he's like, oh, well, I have to apologize to a lot of people. Like, I had no idea. This is awful.
I want him to turn into a gay robot so he can understand what that feels like. I want Nick Swardson to continue to have those types of bits.
I mean, it's crazy looking back. That is from probably like 1998 or something like that, where Comedy Central Presents was more than a reel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would get a lot of reels in succession all put on television in a row, and they would call it something else. And I look back and I'm like they had cool sets and all that sort of stuff. What a thing that felt like it used to be.
Wild time.
Well, hey, let's talk about Oppenheimer.
Yes, I haven't seen it.
Great, that's been it for us. I just bring people on to say whether or not they have. Actually, before we do it, because this is your first time ever on the podcast.
Hello.
I want to do some new guest questions here, some get-to-know-a-guest questions here. It seems more intimidating printed off.
Yeah, this feels like I'm being
interviewed. It's normally just
now.
On my computer, but the computer is running the podcast. So I'm going to ask you some questions here. Actually, you know what I'd like to do? I'll ask the question. Char will answer what he thinks the answer is.
Ooh, because he's never seen me.
Never seen or met.
Correct.
Well, I guess it'd be weird. Has met, never seen would be a weird way for two people to know each other. It's a Netflix dating show.
I've seen you, never met you, but I see you every day.
Long time meter, first time seer. So I'll read this. Char, you answer what you think Jessica's answer would be.
Okay.
Jessica, you can then give like a close or not close and then the right answer. Mm. Does that sound good?
Yep.
All right. Getting to know Jessica via Char. Aside from Oppenheimer, what were other movies you considered doing for the podcast?
I'm going to say Amelie, The Goonies, Space Jam.
Okay. Should I answer?
Have you seen any
correctly?
Of those?
I have seen Space Jam and Amelie, but I have not seen The Goonies, and it's one of those that everyone goes, you have to see it, but I didn't suggest it as a possible thing for this podcast, but maybe I should have, but I'm so uninterested in The Goonies that I don't even want to write a fake script.
You don't even want to exist it's in just, your The Goonies?
Just, I don't like to think about kids and what they're doing.
Amen.
But
I don't know why that's so funny.
What I was going to do was RoboCop, and I even started writing a script for it. And then yesterday I was talking to my coworker about it, and he was like, that's the plot to Jason Bourne.
I'm trying to think like what happens in actual, I don't think I've seen actual, but he just like a guy who woke up and knew how to fight without knowing how to fight. That's like Bourne.
I guess he gets like reprogrammed.
He does get reprogrammed.
Right. And so that's what I was going to do is like, I was going to do a guy that isn't getting passed for being a cop. So he has to become a cyborg, but it also makes his thinking like much, much more efficient for a cop. Yeah. So then I also wasn't that interested in my thing. Yeah. So.
It's a stretch to write a cop that makes good decisions.
Right. Yeah. I was, my RoboCop just got too political and I was like, this isn't funny.
Isn't it all cops are bots?
Yeah.
I saw that on a shirt, I think. Yeah. All right. Question two. So you got one for three, but but wasn't one that was offered. All right. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, let's see. I'm going to say Lady Bird.
Dang, dude.
I figured there was nothing I could say there that wouldn't somehow feel insulting.
Well, that's a good movie. I like that movie fine. But I went to Sacramento recently and because I was doing a weekend up there at the Punchline. And then I was thinking like about Lady Bird, and I was thinking about Greta Gerwig and like how being raised in Sacramento must be, and how like there's this it's a really weird, boring place, Sacramento. I had a fun time doing comedy there, but it is one of the most like strangely suburban places.
I find everywhere in California that didn't make it to the coast to be odd.
Yeah,
you got so close.
It's very strange. Yeah, it's kind of surreal. And I just was thinking about how much I don't really relate to her movies. I like her movies, but I don't have. There's a disconnect for me between the way she sees the world, and I thought about that in Sacramento. But I am a white woman, so you got that right. And I did have issues with my mother growing up, and
mother-daughter
relationship. And
you don't have to tell Shar about that. He's making a porn cinematic universe for himself.
The teen years are hard for mother-daughter relationships.
Sure,
in our misogynist society. But my favorite movies, and I'm just going off of the ones I watched the most, not like what I think are the best.
Sure.
I watch Pride and Prejudice constantly with Keira Knightley and the guy from Succession.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch Lord of the Rings a lot. I'm a consistent
watcher. I lived with someone who would watch Lord of the Rings as her work movie. Like if she's just working from home. She just put Lord of the Rings
How
on.
How beautiful the music is and the scenery.
Yeah,
you know.
It or Cloverfield.
And the men.
Cloverfield was her other work from home background DVD. And these were like DVDs at the time, so she'd go pop in the DVD. But Lord of the Rings you put on, and if you watch two of them, you know it's time to clock out. Like it's a full work day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, the next question was, what movie have you seen the most? Have you ever had a movie poster up in your room?
Yes, but like as a child.
Okay. Shar, what movie?
Beauty and the Beast.
A little older child. Like, okay. Think more like 10, okay, 12 okay, okay. to 12.
Dude, Where's My Car?
That was a double-sided insert poster, I think.
I had a Spice World poster up.
Oh, nice.
I was a big Spice Girls.
That feels like we could have deduced down to that with timing. Yeah. And all right, here we go. Who's your favorite actor?
I'm going to say Keira Knightley.
That's a good guess because of Pride and Prejudice. But I think I have to go with like people that I feel more nostalgic towards. And that when I see them, I'm like, I love it. Like maybe like a comedic actor, like a Gene Wilder or something.
Okay.
But I don't really have a solid answer to that question.
It's a tough question. These are kind of tough questions to make you like pigeonhole the one thing that there's so many of. That's why I like asking them so I don't have to answer them. That's a lot of this podcast is I like facilitating others' work.
Yeah. I mean, Alan Rickman, obviously, these kinds of people.
All right. Let me think. What is a popular or beloved movie you don't care for? I mean, this is one that I like watching other people guess for someone.
Yeah, I'm going to say...
Awesome.
I don't think you'll get this one.
No, I mean, I'm on such a hot streak. So it's sad to see it come to an end. But I'll guess... Little Mermaid.
You are so far. Little Mermaid was the first movie I saw in theaters. It is one of my most beloveds.
Damn.
I'll give you a 1 out of 5 on that one then.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was the worst answer yet, I gotta say. I have to say Harry Potter.
Yeah. Love Alan Rickman, hate Harry Potter.
Yeah, I was thinking that when I said Alan Rickman, you're going to think Harry Potter, and that's why it was kind of might have been a throw off, because he did do good in that movie. But
I wouldn't know Alan Rickman from anybody. But I was trying to think of movies with kids because I was like, all right, she doesn't like kids. And then I think I just ended up saying a thing that kids like.
Yeah, you should have gone with something with kids in it.
Right.
And I
Daddy
do,
daycare.
Here's the thing. I just want to say I do really love children, but I don't love children acting.
So I was projecting. I don't like children or children acting.
Okay.
Okay.
And I haven't seen
Harry Potter is like the old, if you don't like movies where kids are up to stuff, Harry Potter is like your nightmare.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that whole franchise, those fucking kids are up to shit the whole time.
Yeah.
They have like a long plan, different plans, large chess.
I think I love to see more supervision and guidance.
Sure.
For children.
I'm so dumb.
I thought you meant like super.
So did I. I was literally like, does Harry? I guess he has glasses. That's what I thought you meant by like super. I thought you meant like super duper vision.
Yeah. Like that was one of their magical powers.
I don't like to see kids who have subpar vision.
I have perfect hearing.
We all wonder why he didn't just fix his eyes with a spell. It comes up a lot. And then his glasses keep. They fix the glasses with
the spell. That's how he got that lightning bolt.
Yeah. Why isn't it like eyeball reparo? I don't know. Maybe just another way for J.K. Rowling to put down people.
Yeah, she doesn't like body modification.
She doesn't like any body modification. No. If you're born with it like that, that is how you are supposed to grow up.
Because of...
That's so funny. All right. I think I actually have one more question here. Have you ever walked out of a movie?
I'm going to guess that you have.
Yeah, I have. Movie? You want to guess?
I'm going to guess I Am Legend.
I haven't actually seen that.
That's
but
so specific.
I walked out of, and this is something that I've watched since and I kind of like it. So I don't know why I was so not into it in the theaters, but I walked out of Guardians of the Galaxy. I tend to not like a superhero thing, and I think I just had no patience for the level of magic that was happening.
There wasn't enough supervision in it.
Exactly.
Like only like Superman. He's the only one I could think of with the laser eyes.
And then when I was a child, my mother took us out of The Cell with Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, I remember The Cell.
We went into the theater, and my mom was like, this is not good for kids, and then we walked out. And
She's
like,
correct.
Yeah, it was creepy.
Is Vince Vaughn in The Cell?
That would be D'Onofrio. Weird.
What's up?
D'Onofrio.
Oh, yeah. Vince Ent. Yeah. I got the first 2/3 of the first name right. Man, I do remember that movie having a lot of like jarring color shots. Like she was in like bright red. There's like dream death sequences and stuff.
I don't remember
much about it except it was probably terrible for kids.
Yeah. We would do a lot of movie hop, like sneaking into theaters.
Yeah.
Had a fun mom.
With your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, that is fun. So you just, did you see something else and then just like hop into
yeah,
The Cell?
I think so.
That's so funny. that's such an incredible, like, that was really fun time hanging with the kids today. Let's hop into The Cell, the movie about like dead death and dreams. Okay.
Yeah, that didn't
work
out.
So we got to
out.
Know you here. Are there any other questions here? No, that one feels fine.
That was fun. I think you did pretty good.
Thank
you, yeah.
All right. Here we go. Let's talk about Oppenheimer. Is there anything that you want to do to preface? Any like Oppenheimer things you're bringing to this?
No, actually. I think we better just get into it.
Okay.
To be honest, I just haven't seen it. I was going to see it, and I even had like this conversation with one of my exes on Instagram where she posted like, I think this movie, why make a movie about someone so horrible or something? And like, he's just shitty, right? Like, he did this horrible thing. And then I messaged back like devil's advocate-y, and I was like, well, like, you know, it's about like searching in ourselves, why, how someone even gets to that point. But I realized that I don't even agree with that because I didn't go see it. Like, I'm like,
hey, maybe you're close. Well, all right, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to get right into your script.
All right.
Hey folks, Kyle here. Thank you for listening. Just taking another quick second out here and add on my own show. I figure this is a good time to remind everyone of these shows I got coming up. I'm in Eureka, California. I'm in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, and Oakland, California, all starting actually next week. Basically some dates in there. May 16th in Eureka, 18th in Portland, May 23rd in Seattle, and May 25th in Oakland. Doing my show Hard to Say, this comedy show I'm working on about living with trigeminal neuralgia. I've gone on and on enough about it on here. I really had a lot of fun out in Colorado last month, and people came out from the shows, and it's the best. Seeing people out at shows who like the podcast is just the best, and developing this show about the very odd and difficult thing I'm going through has been a pleasure that is unexpected and makes me very happy, and I'm very proud of the show. Like I said, I've got those dates coming up, kyleayers.com/shows. Please grab tickets now. Grab them while you're listening to this. Send it to a friend. Tell them to come out. Seattle, Portland, Eureka, Oakland. I would love for tickets to get moving a little bit. And so would the venues that are emailing me. And it's going to be a really good time. I hope to see you out. Thank you so much. I hope you're enjoying the episode. Once again, kyleayers.com/shows. Y'all are the best. Thank you. The absolute the best. All right, we are back. Let me get in time code just for that, just for sure to edit that. 3540. We can go and cast that however you'd like. So probably have you do the stage directions.
Okay. Jessica,
and then you can let Daniel or myself play whomever.
You be Oppenheimer.
Wonderful.
I'll be Mrs. Oppenheimer. And then you can be scientist. Ooh. You can be other scientist.
Yes.
And you can be Einstein.
Great.
I think that's it.
I will say so far, you've nailed everyone who's in the movie.
There's also a judge. You can do the judge.
Okay. Wow. Also in the movie.
I did get little tips.
Great.
Little tips of what was going on. So, all right. Oppenheimer by Jessica Seeley. Interior morning. Oppenheimer is in bed with his wife, engaged in intercourse. He's on top of her, and she lay there moaning in ecstasy. He is moving slowly with a distant look in his eye. Equations and images of beakers and microscopes move across the screen. Yes, that's it. I'm coming.
Shoot, so close.
Oh, don't worry, darling. You put too much pressure on yourself. The anorgasmic male community is difficult to study because many are too ashamed. You just need to let go and know that you're intrinsically loved.
You know nothing of science. Name one equation.
Okay, I didn't mean to upset or embarrass you.
Exactly. You have no idea what pressure I'm under while you gallivant with your orgasms and your gin.
Okay, my love. I'm gonna go to the hills to look into the heavens.
And I will go back to the laboratory to create them.
Don. He drives his Ford truck into the desert while Mrs. Oppenheimer rides a beautiful long-maned horse into the distance, both of their hair blowing in the wind. Oppenheimer drives past a ton of people and houses.
How did I get out here where there is not a soul, just open land? Vacant is my answer to the atomic dilemma.
You can do townspeople.
Hey, Oppenheimer!
Not a soul.
Get out of here!
I can almost hear the faint voices of the people I left behind in the quest for understanding.
He pulls into the gate of the science facility and puts his code in the thing. The gate opens and he drives in.
This is the detail I think Christopher Nolan would write with. puts the thing in the stuff.
You know exactly what I mean.
I do. I knew exactly what it was. I can picture it all.
interior, the lab, I guess. Men standing around yelling about formulas.
How can an atom coagulate if you only have quadrified the quantum time levels?
You fool. You haven't accounted for the triangulation vertex.
More yelling. Oppenheimer looks down pensively. He breaks a pencil in half with frustration. He looks up. A cloud of smoke rolls through the door. A silhouette of a man with wild hair and a pipe walks through the door. It's Einstein. The men become silent.
You silly boy. Come give me a kiss.
The scientists all form a line and give Einstein European kisses.
Einstein, my friend, might I talk to you? I'm on the brink of something. I feel like I'm going to explode.
Walk with me, you little goose.
The men walk down a hallway into a room with a bar and dancers. They pour themselves a scotch and sit on a love seat.
I'm getting so close, and then it slips away. Something about molecules and pressure building. It's going to be huge. I actually know I can do it. Yeah. But I think I get scared. I think I know that I'm very powerful.
When I was a young boy in Germany, I was feeding a duck. The duck Zin flew up to the sky, and I saw it. The light fractals slowing down while the duck danced. And Zin I knew.
What?
Everything.
Just then, Oppenheimer moaned loudly. A look of epiphany on his face.
You're welcome.
A shot of Mrs. Oppenheimer as she keeps riding her horse. She comes across a pack of wild horses. Epic music. End scene. Okay, interior day. It's like a courtroom. He's in a court hearing with, like, politicians, maybe like a Senate sort of thing.
And now I'd like to call to the stand Mr. Oppenheimer.
Ladies and gentlemen of the United States, I am a fool. I thought I was the smartest man alive, but I was a fool. I suffered from a lifelong case of anorgasmia, which made me lose the forest for the trees. I had a wife who loved me. I could give her no children, for they festered inside of me. I wanted to find the knowledge, but the knowledge wanted me to let go of it. Please consider forgetting what I have discovered.
Just then, Mrs. Oppenheimer bursts through the door with her horses.
Darling!
Quick, my love, hop on before this goes any longer. They ride out of the courtroom together. You see, it was always the ride, not the destination. The equation, not the formula. The buildup, not the explosion.
Forgive me.
I have. That's why I'm taking you to meet our son. The sun sets. Roll credits. I have chills, literally.
Might be the flu. Oh, this is the closest we've ever got. If I'm building like a rankings of accuracy, the thing that you did better than Christopher Nolan was flushing out the female characters. He had 3 hours and 25 minutes and didn't quite have as well-rounded as you have of Emily Blunt's Mrs. Oppenheimer.
Oh, Emily Blunt, huh?
Yeah, she's one of Oppenheimer's. She's his wife.
So let me tell you what I knew going into this.
Okay.
I have an extensive, obviously, scientific and historical understanding. I knew that he, of course, was doing something with the atomic bomb. And I knew he went to, he was in some sort of hearing in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I did hear something about the female character was not good, that she was like very two-dimensional and like mm-hmm. they were like, there's an unimportant woman in the background.
Christopher Nolan wrote a movie, Interstellar, where there's literal time travel through wormholes and the female characters are one-dimensional.
I've seen Interstellar. That is hilarious.
There's six dimensions of travel for Matthew McConaughey, and Anne Hathaway exists in one of them.
That is hilarious.
I actually have a note going that is potential Christopher Nolan female character names, because I loved Oppenheimer. I really did. I loved it. And I like a lot of his movies a lot. But rewatching Inception, I think we talked about it on here. The main character's name in Inception is like Adirondé is Elliot Page's character's name. And then the other women in the movie, one is they all exist in Leonardo DiCaprio's head. That's like there's only one female character in the movie played by a man and named Adirondé. And then the other character is like Philip is like his daughter's name. And I'm just like, so I have a running note of character names for Christopher Nolan to name female characters.
And Interstellar's Murphy, right?
Murph yeah. is, yeah, Interstellar's Murphy. I have Fairly Macabre, I think is a name for a girl. Jin Drinkley. Wreck, W-R-E-C. Anthonia. Jeffette. And Bort. And then spelled, it's Timmy, but it's spelled T-I-M-E. Those are the names that I have.
That is hysterical.
But I did love. I mean, you really, you nail, Einstein is in Oppenheimer.
That someone I knew plays as well.
Einstein. I'm trying to think what you left out of the 3 hour and 20 minute movie I loved in your 4 page script. And I'm having trouble coming up with anything. It's great. You nailed it. I think there's even horses.
What?
I can't remember. Do you see Oppenheimer? I can't stop picturing Emily Blunt on a horse now.
Freak out.
I can't stop picturing Emily Blunt on a horse, and it might just be. I'm calling my brain AI. It might just be what's the thing called where your brain AI imagination.
Dude, if there really are horses though, if there's horses, then I'm gonna trip out because I think I have some. I have some. Image psychicness. Okay. Recently I had a dream that my old high school house was like, I tried to move back in it, but there were these like gangsters that were like dumping stuff there, like using it as a dumping ground. And I was scared. And then the next day my mom said, oh, I drove past our old house. It was so weird and full of garbage.
Whoa. I'm pretty sure he rides horses with his wife in Oppenheimer. Dang. Like they have a ranch or something. You got one thing you really nailed was them ignoring the fact that anyone lived where they built the
I heard that critique
the
too.
Place out in New Mexico to test the bombs. All they had to do was displace people who lived there. I mean, I'm looking through this. You really, men stood around and yelled about formulas. That's an hour of it. That's like an hour of it.
Really? Yeah, that's what I figured.
The entire, and this is a, I don't want to spoil too much of the movie.
I think it's okay, because I think I generally know what it's about, so I think it's okay.
The, Robert Downey Jr. plays a guy who's trying to become, he's like a politician, sort of like halfway involved with the whole linear story of it, kind of like a good to bad sort of guy character in the hearing, he's at the, anyways, the whole crux of the movie is the emotional core is like, Oppenheimer and Einstein are talking by a pond about something. And Robert Downey Jr.'s character walks up to them and Einstein walks by. And like Robert Downey Jr.'s like, hi, Einstein, which is insane. And Einstein just sort of walks by and Robert Downey Jr.'s like, oh, they must have been talking about me. I hate them both forever. And he dedicates his whole life to trying to take down Oppenheimer because of this weird slight. And then at the end of the movie, someone's like, what if they're just talking about, probably talking about something important. Like that was Oppenheimer and Einstein. They probably don't give a shit about you. And he's like, oh. And he spent like 20 years of his life. It's like a very like masculine, emotional, like, I think this guy slighted me. So my whole life will be bringing him down. But actually, he's probably talking about ducks with Einstein.
Wow.
I also think it's hard to have Einstein in something.
Yeah.
As a serious character. He was in the movie and he talked. And it's just very hard to take seriously because it's Einstein from the posters.
Yeah.
It's just very hard to like picture him. He's too big of a figure.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Maybe than anyone. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that I would like have that. Like if Gandhi was in the peripheral of a movie, you'd be like, shoot, what about him?
Hi, Gandhi.
Is that Rami Malek playing Gandhi? And this movie has so many famous people in it. Mm-hmm. I was looking some stuff up about it because that was everyone. Rami Malek's in this movie for 30 seconds. That's like the level. The guy who won Best Actor can barely break into the movie. And I was looking it up, and Christopher Nolan in some interview was like, it's hard to differentiate between 8 40-year-old white guys in a room talking about science. So I cast really famous people as I could, so everyone would remember who's who. Wow. He's like, they didn't have to have character names. They'd be like, that's Robert Downey Jr. Talking to Jack Quaid or something like that. I'm like, that's how I watch like Game of Thrones in my head. Like that's long hair guy talking to Crown Man or something. But I think you nailed it.
Dang. I feel great about it. I was kind of sharing it with people last night as I was going along with it. And then I sent, this was going to be my final paragraph, just please consider forgetting what I've discovered.
Yep.
And then my friend was like, oh, actually he does have a son though. So that's why I ended it with, I'm taking you to meet our son.
I think like during the movie, he's developing the atom bomb. And then a guy who's like in his science team is like, well, you know, if we do this with hydrogen, it's 1,000 times bigger. And then Oppenheimer's immediately like, fuck, well, that's a bad idea. The atom bomb's the perfect idea. It's not that big, and the hydrogen bomb could like blow up the whole world. So then he's like building it while regretting its existence the entire time.
Dang. Yeah, can you stop doing it? Or
like, well, not now. We're so far past it. At this point, that I think they had an atom bomb on like Mythbusters. Like, I think there's so many of them or something. I think he blew up an actual bomb for this movie because he didn't want to use CGI. We have so many of them lying around. They didn't use any CGI.
I don't know. There's got to be a way to erase this from our psyches. Also, like kind of all of war, I would love if we just kind of like...
Sure.
Kind of just changed like our, you know, none of us love it. Like, let's... Let's just forget we ever tried that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a new Christopher Nolan movie where he's making people forget the bad things they've invented. Deception.
I'm going to call it Forget About It.
That's Martin Scorsese. He gets the script and calls it Forget About It.
I'm going to call it Men in Black, but not for aliens, just for people.
It's a long parenthetical. Yeah. There's no way we're getting Tommy Lee Jones back.
No.
Mm. Well, I want to do a game here that we haven't done in a long time on the podcast because no one else here has seen Oppenheimer. This game is called Rapid Fire Trivia about a movie... where had you seen the movie, it probably you would do better on the trivia. You can go ahead and hit the music. It's rapid fire trivia about a movie. You were seeing the movie, we're definitely up here on the trivia. So what I'm going to need is Char to leave the room.
Okay.
And Jessica, I'm going to ask you some trivia questions about Oppenheimer.
Okay.
And you're going to answer them the best you can. Just give some answer, even if you have no idea.
Don't let him take his phone.
I don't think these are barely Googleable.
He's going to look stuff up. Okay.
Turn off the router. So all I'm going to ask you these, we're going to see how you do, and then have Char come back in and see you can do better on this trivia about the movie that no one's seen. All right, Nolan, how are we looking on time?
I'm going to win this shit.
41:37. All right, we'll do yours, and then we're going to take a break. But here we go. This is trivia about Oppenheimer, where seeing Oppenheimer would probably help you with the trivia about Oppenheimer. Mm. Are you ready? There's 10 questions. Question one, what book served as the basis for the movie?
Oppenheimer.
Okay. Question two, what was the tagline for the movie Oppenheimer?
There's no going back.
Damn, that's a good tagline. Who played J. Robert Oppenheimer in the movie?
I know him, but his name is Handsome Guy. Yeah, right, handsome guy. Like,
all right, handsome
like
guy.
Classically handsome. Like if you met him like in the 1920s, you'd be like handsome guy.
He frequently plays people from around that time.
Yeah, he's got a 1920s face.
He's got a 3-piece suit face.
Was he also in Don't Worry, Darling or something?
That's Harry Styles.
No, the other guy. The one that everyone was saying, he looks bored during interviews and grumpy.
Oh, the guy, the star of this movie? I don't know if he was in Don't Worry, Darling.
Okay, never mind.
It.
Forget
it. Who wrote and directed Oppenheimer?
Christopher Nolan.
All right. In Oppenheimer, Gary Oldman's character has what job?
Security.
Close. When in the bunker, Oppenheimer says they will know if the bomb is successful in how much time?
Less than a second.
Richard Feynman, played by Jack Quaid, is shown playing what musical instrument multiple times in the film?
Ukulele.
The entire reel of IMAX film stock used for the production was roughly how long, like measurement-wise?
20 minutes.
Like distance-wise. Oh. Like it was like strewn out.
Like 10 feet?
When Einstein is first seen in the film, he's throwing what into a pond?
Bread for ducks.
That was your script, I think.
Wait, we're going off my script.
No, we're not. We're not. Oppenheimer was shot under the working title of...
Why would... Oppenheimer? What the hell? Or how about... Okay, I'll change it.
Sometimes they shoot under these secret things so people don't know what all the stuff traveling is. Like if
okay, sure, like sure, sure. Science. Science war.
All right, let me get Char back in here, and we'll have him answer. Here we go. Char? Yep. Oh, he was rooms away.
Yeah, he's a little suspicious, to be honest.
I don't know if Char watches enough movies to know where to Google to start finding out this information. that would be where I would go. All right, Char, we're going to ask you 10 trivia questions about Oppenheimer. Answer to the best of your ability.
Okay.
What book served as the basis of the film?
The Bible.
No, he's just kidding.
No kidding allowed.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine.
Serious competition.
I'll put the Bible. We'll move on. What was the tagline for the movie Oppenheimer?
Bombs away.
Life find bombs way. All right. Who played J. Robert Oppenheimer in the movie?
John Hamm.
You said he was just kidding. At least he said a real person. But who wrote and directed the movie?
Christopher Nolan.
In Oppenheimer, Gary Oldman's character has what job?
Scientist.
When in the bunker, Oppenheimer says they will know the bomb is successful in how much time?
60 seconds, MacGruber.
Richard Feynman, played by Jack Quaid, is shown playing what musical instrument multiple times throughout the film?
Washboard.
Do you know what decade Oppenheimer was from?
I don't know a single thing about
it. I'm picturing you thinking, oh, brother, where art thou, is when Oppenheimer happened. The entire reel of IMAX film used for production was roughly how long, like if you strewn it out?
6 miles.
Pretty far off in our two guesses there. when Einstein is first seen in the film, he's throwing what into a pond?
A duck.
He's throwing a duck into the pond.
He's a good guy.
Oppenheimer was shot under the working title of...
Bombs Away.
Great. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the answers and see who wins.
Ooh.
Here we go. So we played trivia about Oppenheimer with two people who haven't seen Oppenheimer, but if they'd seen it, it probably would have helped them with the trivia. Let's go through the answers and see who wins. What book served as the basis for the movie? It is called American Prometheus. So I'm going to give neither of you a point on that one. Up to 2 points. One if you're close, two if you got it. What was the tagline for the movie? The world forever changes was the correct answer. So Jessica, I'm going to give you 1 point. She said there's no going back.
That's pretty close.
Bombs away.
No.
No. Who played J. Robert Oppenheimer in the movie? Cillian Murphy. Killian?
I say Cillian.
Cillian? Is he Sicilian from that part of Italy? Cillian Murphy. But is that who you were thinking of?
Yeah. I mean, I know who it is. Yeah.
You know who it is. You're thinking guy wearing a three-piece suit
Did
all the time.
Did you give me a point?
I'm giving you a point. Because I know you were right because you're described as like in Peaky Blinders. He's wearing the three-piece suits all the time. And Christopher Nolan, we both got correct for who wrote and directed. What is Gary Oldman's character's job in the movie? He said security and scientist. He was President Harry S. Truman, President of the United States, which is once again, he's 80% of the way in the movie. Gary Oldman rolls in as Harry Truman. And you're just like, come the fuck on.
That's hilarious.
And you, no one knows what Truman sounded like. I grew up 2 minutes from where his like museum is. And I was like, yeah, it's a good impression probably. When in the bunker, Oppenheimer said they'll know the bomb is successful in how much time? He said less than 1 second. He said 60 seconds. An hour and 58 minutes. I don't know why it took that long to know, but...
Yeah, doesn't it just...
Yeah, I don't know, but that's how long it was. Richard Feynman, played by Jack Quaid, is showed playing what musical instrument multiple times. We had ukulele and washboard. The correct answer is bongo drums. Bongo drums. I feel like it's right in the middle of the Venn diagram the two of you created.
Yeah, it's the third member of that band.
The entire reel of IMAX film stock used for the production is roughly 11 miles long. It said 10 feet. So almost taking a point. when Einstein is first seen in the film, he's throwing what into the pond? It's a rock. He's like trying to, he doesn't even skip it.
He's just like, boop.
It like is the most, this was in the script character thing I've ever seen in my life.
Throw rock.
I assume
into
it's
pond.
Like to make a ripple effect for like some Christopher Nolan, like visual metaphor or something. Yeah. And I know Einstein like means stone, I think. And so it's like it, but I've it's like, it. So the way he tosses it is he, it's so, I remember it. That's how stupid it is, how he throws the rock into the, it's so weird and rigid. He just sort of like how you would, like a, how a Chuck E. Cheese robot would throw a rock.
Yeah, have a little romance when you're throwing a rock in a pond.
You should have Einstein try and skip it and fail or like something, because he seemed like a funny enough normal, anyways.
Well, you know, if you're just plopping it in depressingly.
Everyone gets a point for that one.
Okay.
We said bread and duck and. That's more fun. Oppenheimer was shot under the working title of Gadget.
Ew.
I didn't mean to end us on such a down note.
Yeah, because it's like...
Go, go, atom bomb.
Science war and bombs away. We'll give both a point there. So, Jessica, looks like you won by one point here after all was said and done.
All right, because my answer for who played Oppenheimer was that guy.
Yeah, but I knew you knew. I knew you knew. Shar, you were too far off naming a real guy. No, I assume John Hamm was in it. I saw it, but it feels like he's probably in it.
Seems like it would be.
Does it seem?
Especially if Rami Malek's in it for 30 seconds. You're telling me John Hamm isn't going to wedge his way in?
Yeah, he's got like 40s guy face.
Yeah.
And like you see him in a military uniform in Top Gun, and I think that mental image is also in my head associated with Oppenheimer.
I would have figured maybe there was like a Mad Men crossover. He does an ad for the atom bomb or something.
Oh, the atom bomb. He's in, that would be nice. A-D-A-M.
Yeah.
Anyways, he wasn't, I guess, but he really's got that face. If we're not putting John Hamm in Oppenheimer, we're ending this man's career. How many times can you show up on SNL when no one asked? Only so many times you can show up as a bit on SNL. If this guy, if that chin and that head is not allowed to be in Oppenheimer... It feels
moment
rude
of silence.
That he, why was he not the prosecuting attorney?
Right.
Too old? Too young?
Yeah, we're not taking good enough care of John Hamm.
He doesn't have normal guy face.
Right. He could have been the horse.
He doesn't have normal guy face.
Let him play the horse.
It's anytime John Hamm is in something normally, the joke is that he's in it.
Yeah.
Like right. If he tries to do a normal thing, you're like, isn't it hilarious the handsome man is trying to be normal? Put him in Oppenheimer. The man has Oppenheimer hair. Let him brush it back. Anyways.
I'm with you.
Is it too late? Chris, is it too late to throw some ham? Throw some scraps of ham his way? Give the man, he blows up the bomb. Yeah. They just Oppenheimer. Yeah. Oh my God. It's all right there.
Yeah. I think of movies. Porn parody tomorrow. I'm gonna go to
guys,
my boss.
Can
and
we
say,
get John Hamm for our porn?
I still want to play the side character, but let me be Einstein.
It's just you putting on like the glasses to watch it blow up. I'm thinking back. One of my favorite parts of Oppenheimer. They're about to blow up the bomb, and all the scientists are like at the safe distance. And then just one of them puts on so much sunscreen. I don't know why it's so hilarious to me. Like they don't all put it on, but one of them is like putting on so much sunscreen. And I'm like, it's so funny to me, but you're about to put a bomb off, but he's like, this is going to hurt my face. And he just puts on like a lifeguardian, like that's Baywatch, hilarious. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he doesn't even rub it in just like all over his face.
Oh my gosh.
All right. We got one. We got two final games we're gonna play here. This game is called Build the Perfect Movie. Let me get my phone prepped here.
having so much fun.
How this game works is I'm going to give you a movie category. You have to pick two movies from that category whose Rotten Tomatoes score add up to as close to 100 as possible without going over. Does that make sense?
No, one more time.
So I'll give you a category. The category is actually going to be drama today. You have to pick two dramas whose Rotten Tomatoes, you're competing against one another, whose Rotten Tomatoes score add up to as close to 100 as possible without going over. Mm. You'll each pick your first, and then we will review the scores, and then you can pick your second one.
Okay.
So, Shar, since you're losing by one, I don't know if the scores will say 8-7, you will go ahead and pick your first movie first, and then Jessica, you'll pick second, and we'll review the scores, and we'll check it out.
Okay. I'm going to say Punch Drunk Love.
All right. Jessica, your first movie?
The Blind Side.
All right, here we go. The Blind Side is a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes. Punch Drunk Love is a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, Jessica, you're looking for a 34%. Or less. Shar, you're looking for a 21 or less. Jessica, since you have more to make up, you will pick first for our second one.
Another drama. It's got to be 34 or lower.
34 or lower.
God, what was so bad? Something with... I literally can't think of anything. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm dragging this.
Okay, and Shar, you can pick if you want.
Is it off limits to say Gigli?
Gigli and Gotti are actually both banned.
Okay.
Just from being used too frequently much in the show.
Mm. All right.
Anything five letters starts with a G, off band, off limits.
I'm going to say Don't Worry, Darling. I don't think that it bombed that hard, but.
Yeah, I want to do like a Netflix one, like a, what's that one that Adam Driver was in? That was like a space one.
Oh, that just sort of came out?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I can look it up.
Sorry. I'm not very good at.
Dinosaurs? He's fighting dinosaurs. It's a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, he's fighting dinosaurs.
Watch 65.
Yeah, I don't know how that one did, but I know how I feel like it did.
I mean, based on the title, I mean, that's 100. I've never heard a better title that seems more promising than Watch 65. It's even hard to search. Is it just called 65?
Yeah.
And I'm just, why am I looking up Watch 65? All right, here we go.
I'll be curious to see how that one did.
Punch Drunk Love is a 79. Don't Worry, Darling is a 38.
Damn.
So we're pretty far over.
Yep.
What was your first movie? Oh, The Blind Side is a 66. 65, the movie, is a 34. That is exactly a 100%.
Wow.
Oh my God. Wow, that's maybe the second time in the history of the show. Amazing. We're on episode, I want to say 38,000. Wow.
The rush of dopamine that
I just got
is uncomparable.
Absolutely incredible. You know what? We're calling it there. We're not even going to do another round.
Yeah.
A perfect movie, I think, ends it for us right there. I had trouble reading it because I was shaking, holding the phone, looking at the numbers.
I'm like the happiest I've been in a long time.
I cannot believe it. Let's end on a high before we read any news.
I'm worried about after this podcast what I'm going to do.
Go buy a lottery ticket.
Do some cocaine or something.
I got to do cocaine to come down from this podcast. Wow. Well, just
because I didn't know how it did in the reviews, but I knew that I felt it was.
You
about
felt
a
exactly right.
Wow.
Have you ever had your finger on the pulse quite like this?
Never. I mean, I feel like my whole life has
it
been
made me
leading
like
up
sweat.
To this.
I think you've got supervision.
I feel like I'm dreaming.
You've got supervision.
This is crazy. You know, my whole life, people are like, when is Jessica going to amount to something? Like, what's...
Without going over that something she amounts. What amount to exactly a thing? Oh, my goodness. This is a day. I am so happy I found this little horn in the music kit. Well, tell everyone about your album. Tell everyone where to find you.
My album is not as good as What Just Happened.
Which is the title, ironically.
Okay, so I recorded an album that is stand-up comedy. It comes out November 3rd. It'll be on all of the... sorry, I can't breathe. It'll be on all the iTunes and everything, and it's called Weird Vibes. And please check it out. Give it a listen. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. Check it out, Out with Blonde Medicine, where I put my album out. They're great people over there.
Love it.
Love them very much. Char, let everyone know specifically what websites to find video of you on.
I mean, I think if you know, you know. You know, they're out there. They're not hard to find. My stage name is my real name, and my non-pornographic work is available at danielshar.com.
Great. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful... Oh, if you're listening, make sure to sign up for our Secret Santa, where you give and receive a gift from a movie you've never seen. Go to neverseenitshow.com for links. Thank you. That is it for us. Thank you to Jessica. Thank you to Char. Thank you to our producer on this episode, Nolan. You guys are just wonderful. I hope you enjoy the episodes. Once again, find us on YouTube. We're Never Seen It. Find us on Instagram and Twitter. Patreon. You know how to find stuff. Patreon.com/neverseenit. neverseenitshow.com. We'll link you to all that. Thank you so much.